Good morning, church. It's so good to see you all today, this morning. So let's start sharing blessings to one another. So find three or more people. Maybe you can go further. I give you more time since I have a really short sermon today. Okay, find three or more people that you haven't spoken. And with a big smile, of course, big smile, and said, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Please stand up as you're able. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Yeah, you can go further down. You can go further down. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Kevin, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Yes, indeed. Okay. Thank you so much. This is my favorite part of worship service. All right. You know, church, over the last 2 weeks, we've been on a journey together. It's called Grace for the Weary. Do you remember first week, week zero, was about? Jesus gave us a beautiful invitation. It says, come to me, all of you, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burden, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Not come to me after you fix yourself. Not come to me once your life is together. Just come. Come. And then last Sunday, we discovered that grace is not merely an idea or a theological concept. You know, grace has a face. Grace has a face. Grace has hands that touch people no one else would touch. Grace has eyes that saw people everyone else ignored. Grace has a voice that spoke forgiveness where others only spoke condemnation. You know, grace has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. Today, we take another step. Because once we come to Jesus, once we begin to experience his grace, there are still one question many of us quietly or even secretly ask. Am I good enough? Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Do I deserve this? For many Christians, those questions never completely disappear. I think one of the greatest causes of spiritual exhaustion is this. We keep trying to earn something God has already decided to give us. We know the word grace. We sing about grace. We teach our children about grace. But deep inside, many of us still live as though God's love has to be earned every single day. Years ago, I read about a pastor who asked his congregation one simple question. If God were grading your life today, God were grading your life today, what grade do you think you would receive? People answer honestly, B plus, C, maybe an A minus on a good week, okay? And then one man quietly answered, I think I would fail. The pastor asked, why? He replied, because I know myself. I have never forgotten that story. Because I think many Christians these days feel exactly the same. We know ourselves, we know our weaknesses, we know the thought we wish we never had. We know the promises we've broken. We know the prayers we've forgotten to pray. We know how impatient we can become, how judgmental we can become, how fearful we can become, how selfish we can become. And because we know ourselves, we quietly assume God must love us a little less. Perhaps some of you came here today carrying that feeling. You smile as you come through the doors. You greet people. But inside, you're wondering, I've failed again. I've disappointed God. I should be a better Christian than this by now. If that's you, today's scripture is incredibly good news for you. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. You notice what Paul emphasized? It is a gift. It is a gift of God. He didn't say you were saved because you finally got everything figured out. He didn't say you were saved because you became a good enough person. He didn't say you earn your place. He said, it is a gift of God. A gift of God. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever received a birthday gift? Of course you have, right? Imagine your friends give you a beautiful gift, birthday gift. You open it, you're surprised, you're grateful, and then you ask, how much do I owe you? Would that be strange? Wouldn't it? Because if you pay for it, it's no longer a gift. It becomes a purchase. The value of grace is that it cannot be purchased. It can only be received. You know, sometimes we think we treat God exactly that way. Jesus said, I love you. And we respond, okay, how can we pay you back? I'll work harder. I'll volunteer more. I'll try to become perfect. I'll never fail again. But grace gently says, you don't have to. You don't have to. I already paid. You know, church, the cross The cross was never a down payment. The cross was the full payment. You know, in the Bible, Jesus did not say, "It is almost finished." He said, "It is finished." That's grace. That's grace. You know, one of the reasons we become spiritually weary is because we confuse obedience with earning. There's a big difference, obedience and earning. I obey God so that He will love me. I obey God because He already does. Think about that. Maybe parents understand this. A child doesn't become part of the family by cleaning their room. Think about that. A child doesn't earn the last name by getting good grades. Although it would be nice, right? The child belongs first, and then the child grows. Love comes before growth. Belonging comes before maturity. Grace comes before transformation. That's exactly how grace works. I heard some people said, if salvation is by grace, does that mean we can live however we want? Paul answered, no. No. Because grace changes us, not through fear, not through shame, but through love of Christ. Fear may change behavior for a little while, but love changes the heart. I remember hearing about a young man who had spent years addicted to drugs. He had been arrested, rejected. Even his own family had almost given up hope. Finally, someone invited him to church. He expected judgment as he stepped into church, but instead, he found people who welcomed him, people who believed he was more than his mistakes. Years later, someone asked him, "What made you change?" He answered, "I finally met people who love me before I deserve it." You know, that's grace. That's grace. Let me be clear. Grace doesn't ignore sin. Grace doesn't ignore sin. Grace gives sinners a future. Church, isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Do you remember the story of Zacharias? When Jesus met Zacharias, he loved him first, and then Zacharias changed. Remember the story of Peter? When Jesus met Peter after Peter denied him three times, Jesus did not begin with shame. He began with breakfast. Breakfast. Church, breakfast. I'm hungry. Can you imagine that? Peter failed miserably, and Jesus cooked breakfast for him. You know, that's grace. That's grace. Sometimes smell of grace is a fresh bread and a fish on a charcoal fire. Maybe someone here need to hear this story, this today. Your failure is not the end of your story. Let me say that again. Your failure is not the end of your story. Your worst day does not define your identity. Your past is real, but God's grace is greater. Your regret is real, but God's mercy is greater. Your weakness is real, but Christ is stronger. Now, let me be honest. Some of us are tired. Not because we work too much, not because life is busy. We are tired because we spend years trying to be good enough. We compare ourselves with other Christians. We compare ourselves with the pastor, good-looking, humble pastor. We compare ourselves with saints. We compare ourselves with who we think we should be. And every comparison leaves us exhausted. But God, grace says, stop. Stop comparing. Come home. You know, sometimes some things I've noticed after years of ministry. Some of the kindest people still think they are not good enough. Some of the most faithful servants quietly carry guilt that no one else knows about. Some people who have spent decades serving God still wonder whether God is disappointed in them. Maybe that's because we live in a world where almost everything must be earned. We earn grades, we earn promotions, we earn bonuses, we earn trophies, we earn flowers, we earn recognition. But there's one thing you will never earn. That is the love of God. Amen? Because, think about that, if you could earn it, it would be grace. Paul finishes today's passage with another beautiful truth. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You know, in this verse, there is a certain order we need to pay attention. God created us, then we do good works. Works are the fruits, grace is the root. Never reverse them. As I was preparing this message, I kept thinking about something that happened every Sunday. Many of you walk through this door carrying burdens no one else can see. Maybe health concerns, maybe family struggles, maybe loneliness, maybe questions about future, sometimes even question about your own faith. And yet, you come, you sing, you pray, you hope. I want you to know something today. God isn't waiting for you to become stronger before he loves you. God loves you right here, right now, exactly where you are. That doesn't mean God wants to leave you where you are. His grace will transform you, but his love always comes first. Church, the weary don't need another list of rules. The weary need grace. The guilt doesn't need another reminder of failure. They need grace. The discouraged don't need another impossible standard. They need grace. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ offers. Freely, completely, joyfully. So today, stop trying to earn what Christ has already given. Stop carrying what Jesus Christ already carried to the cross. Stop believing the lie that you have to deserve God's love. Instead, receive it, rest in it, live from it. Because grace isn't the reward for the strong. Grace is God's gift for the weary. Thanks be to God. That includes every one of us. Church, perhaps this week life will still be difficult. The doctor's report may not change overnight. The family situation may still be complicated. The uncertainty about the future may still be there. But one thing has changed. You no longer have to carry the burdens of proving yourself to God. Proving yourself to God. You are already loved. You are already welcomed. You are already held by his grace. And because of that, even in the middle of the strong storms of life, our hearts can find a peace the world cannot give. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, thank you for loving us long before we deserve it. Thank you that your grace is not something we earn, but something you freely give through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God, when we become weary from trying to prove ourselves, remind us that we are already your beloved children. Help us to rest in your love, to trust your mercy, and to live each day not out of fear, but out of gratitude. Let your grace heal our heart, O God. Renew our spirit and transform our lives so that we may become instrument of your grace to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Amen.